Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.org.au.
All right, good morning, everyone. Say good morning. My name is Kaya. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rocks. I'm just getting myself sorted, sorry. It's good to be here this morning. I've actually been in Tasmania this past week and arrived back last night. Now, is there anyone from Tasmania here? I just want to be careful what jokes I make. No, no Tasmanians, good. It's good to be back on the mainland, as they call it, for us. I was actually there for a basketball tournament representing Western Australia, and we only lost one game throughout the week and made it to the grand final, and unfortunately, we went down to South Australia in the final by about 10 points. So that was a bit disappointing on that end, but it was a fun week of playing basketball. But even better than that, I had this very unique opportunity. There was about 50 players that we took over to Tasmania to play in this tournament. And every day I had the opportunity of speaking to these players for about 15 to 20 minutes, just about things like challenging them on things of life and also of God. And that for me was just like the best thing. I get to play basketball and I get to share the gospel message with them. And I was like, you know, there's those times in your life where you're like, oh man, this is what I was created to do. It was one of those weeks for me. So I've been on a bit of a high, but I'm a bit tired today. So hopefully I'll keep my eyes up, awake right now. But this is the thing. Jesus came to give us all abundant life. He's given us these passions and these gifts, all of us uniquely, so that we can walk in those and live in complete joy and peace and walking in that on and on. But the problem is there's the things of this world that try to take our joy and our peace away. And we end up kind of just enduring through life, walking through life, enduring it. And that's what this current series is kind of about. Time of our lives. Are we having the time of our lives? Or are we enduring through every single day? Now, Pastor D, a couple of weeks, challenged us with the question, are you engaged? Are you engaged with everything that you're doing? Or are you kind of doing things just half-heartedly? And then last week, Pastor Mike spoke about, are you making it happen? Are you getting things done that you know that God's calling to ask you? Now, my topic today is a bit different. It's titled Pursuing Health. Now, when you think about health, your first thing that might come to your mind is diet and exercise. While I think both of those are very important, especially as an athlete, as I was praying about this topic, I felt like God wanted for me to speak about something that is impacting our health more than anything. And that is the topic of anxiety. And just a disclaimer, I am not a doctor by any means, and I know there's multiple levels of anxiety, and I don't want to dismiss that at all, but I kind of want to today look at the spiritual side of anxiety and see how the enemy is using anxiety to take away us from the life of joy and peace and abundant life that he has for us. So before we get started, I'd just like to pray. So please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to take away sin and death, to take away a life of enduring and to give us a life of joy. Lord, I thank you that you created every single person in this room and that you gave us a purpose. And Lord, I pray today that you will speak to us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will use me to speak your truth and bring glory to you, Lord. And that you'll help us today to walk out of here knowing that there's another option to anxiety, and that is peace in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, my sister, I have a sister, she is 4 years older than me. She's the non-sporty sister, very different to me. But she is currently very pregnant with her fourth child. She's due any day now, and she's very, very big. I actually texted her when I landed last night and I said, you can have the baby now, because we've been waiting, because I was away. Anyway, she has three boys so far, all under the age of six, and she's about to have this fourth kid. And by the size of her stomach, it's probably another boy, or as her kids say, another two boys, possibly in there. But my sister, her second child was actually born in the car on the way to the hospital. That's the type of kid he is. He's a bit crazy. And so during the time of looking after this toddler that came out in a car, she was pregnant with her third. And she suffered a lot from anxiety. She was very stressed. And if you've ever witnessed someone suffering through anxiety, you know it's hard to see them go through this. And during that time, I was questioning her. I was like, Nina, what is the root? What are you really struggling with? What are you anxious about? And her thing was, why can't I do this? Why can her sister-in-law, who has five kids, why can she deal with that? But yet, I can't deal with this. I should be able to deal with this. She was consistently comparing herself to the expectations of others that she should be able to do this. And that is our current culture. Our culture tells us that we should be able to do more. It almost praises those people, and especially those mums that can have four kids, go to work, put food on the table when we get home. And we're constantly being told to do more, to do more. And yet what happens is we're doing and we're taking less time to rest. And because we're not taking that time to rest, we're suffering with stress and anxiety. I want to look at the story in the Bible about Mary and Martha. Now, Jesus is walking through the village, and this lady, Martha, comes and invites Jesus into her home and cooks what all of us would do, and cooks him like this big, delicious meal. And while she's busy cooking away, her sister Mary just decides to sit and hang with Jesus, and all of a sudden Martha's getting a bit angry and like, she's just sitting around doing nothing. This is like me and my sister. She's the one cooking, I'm sitting. But in that, we can kind of look at this passage and go, well, they're just different personality types, right? Martha is the task-orientated type of person. She's the one that shows her love for Jesus by doing. Whereas Mary, yeah, she's that extroverted person. She's a people person, so she likes to sit and be with Jesus. But it's not necessarily about doing or not doing. And let's look at Jesus' response to this situation. So it's in Luke 10, verse 40. It says that Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, in this, you can kind of hear a soft rebuking towards Martha. And it's almost like Jesus is saying, "Martha, you got it all wrong. Mary's got it all figured out. She's the one that knows what she's doing." And almost there's a comparison. And it's like, you just have to spend time with me and you'll be fine. But if we take a deeper look at this, I think there's something else. See, the word "worried" that Jesus uses here actually in the Greek means in pieces. So her mind was in pieces. He's saying that she was distracted and worried about all the details. She was focused on many things. She was focused probably on cooking, probably on cleaning, and worrying about what Mary was doing and worrying about Jesus. Her mind was not focused on the one that was in that room with her. And the result of her mind being in pieces was that she was worried and upset and anxious. I want to ask you at the moment, as you're walking through your everyday, as you're walking on your way to work or whatever you're doing, is your mind distracted? Is your mind worrying about all the different things? As you spend time with the Lord in the morning and you go to pray, is it like my mind where I'm thinking through all the things that I have to do for that day? Or are you concerned about the one thing that matters? James kind of talks about this unfocused mind. And it's a bit of a harsh word that we'll look at here, but I think it's really important. And it comes from James 1:5. He says, "If you need wisdom, Ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty, and in other versions it says double-minded, is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Those who are double-minded, those who are focused on many things, are unsettled and unstable in some things, no, in everything. Earlier last year, I was living in California, and I had this feeling on my heart that I maybe should come home, and so come back to here, to Perth. And so I was praying about it. I was like, God, is this sense coming from you? Do you want me to go back to Perth, or do you want me to stay here? What do you want? And I'm praying, and I'm not getting any answers. So I called up my mentor there, and I was like, Brew, can you come meet me tomorrow morning in my office? I got something I need to talk to you about. Anyway, he rocks up in my office the next morning, and he's like, Kaya, don't say anything. The Lord already spoke to me on the way here. He said, there's no wrong decision. There's no wrong decision. The Lord will bless you whatever you do. And then he read this very verse out to me. He said, the only problem is right now your mind is distracted and you're unsettled and you aren't fully in one place. Just make a decision and be fully there. See, Jesus wasn't just concerned about Martha being in his presence. He was concerned that her mind was not fully focused on him. He wanted her complete attention. He wanted her complete devotion, her complete focus. And sometimes we're like, Jesus, you don't know what I'm going through. There's so much going on in my life. There's so much I have to do constantly. You're continually asking for my complete, devotion, yet do you know what I have in my life? See, Satan, our enemy, will try to distract us as much as possible. He knows that if he can get our focus off God and off Jesus, then our mind's going to be on other things, and in that we'll become anxious, and in that our joy and our peace is taken away. And we take our eyes off the one who is the one that will provide for us. Often our mind is distracted the most when we are burnt out. Because in a burnout, our anxiety is up because we're looking at so many different other things. And this is when we're most susceptible to sin. And we often hear it most in pastors because it's probably most publicized, but it happens to us all, that when we are burnt out, we often sin. As I travel around the world and I get to consult with other pastors, I had one earlier this year come to me and he said, last night I had to confess to my wife that earlier this year I was looking at pornography. And she's now considering leaving me, talking about divorce. And she's like, and he's like, Kaya, I was just burnt out. And I was looking for a way to escape. I was looking for a place to rest. But I went to the wrong thing. And often when we're so distracted, our mind is so focused on so many different things, we are just looking for a place to rest. And if that place to rest is not Jesus, then it will be in something that is temporal rest that actually leads to more anxiety because it's filled with guilt and shame. See, his desire for us is not to be anxious, but to be with peace. Let's look at another verse in Hebrews. It's one of my all-time favorites. And it's Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. We're just going to break this down for a bit. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So first thing, Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who are these cloud of witnesses? If you read Hebrews 11, it talks about, it's kind of like the hall of faith. It's those people in the Old Testament who did crazy things, where God asked them to do crazy things and they walked out in faith doing them, knowing that and trusting in God. Now, Hebrews 11 says that these people considered themselves aliens and strangers on this earth. They knew that they didn't belong here. And they said that it says that their focus was on their heavenly homeland. Is this your home? Is this where your focus is on? Or do you know that your home is actually somewhere else? The next part says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Did you catch that? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. It's not just sin that hinders us. There's other things. It could be comparison. It could be doing too much. It could be not spending enough time with your kids. What is it that is hindering you, not just sin? What is hindering you from focusing on Jesus? So the first step is to throw that off. And the second step, he says, he has let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Who here likes to run? Not many. All right. The young adults crew, they go running every Saturday morning. I love to run. I love to go on long runs, more of a long distance runner. But as a young kid, I did little athletics and had to do a lot of sprinting, 100 meter sprints. And I was one of those kids, and I think you've all seen them. When they're running, they're looking around at whether they're winning that race. Even Usain Bolt does that as well. They're running around, and what I would do is if the people were behind me, then I'd slow down and just kind of like cruise over the finish line. And one day my coach took me inside and was like, Kaya, you're not focused on getting the best time. How are you going to get better if you're not focused on getting the best time? You're worried so much about the other people. And I was like, yeah, but I win. Like, it's all about winning. And he's like, no, you're about improving. You got to fix your eyes on that finish line. And how much do I still do this? How much do we do this? Just like Martha was worried about Mary. Just like my sister was comparing herself to the other people. See, the problem is we often don't know what our lane is. I once asked a guy, what type of girl are you looking for? And he goes, one that knows her lane. And I was like, I don't even really know what that means. He knew what that means. But do we know our lane? Our lane and our race is different to everybody else's. God has given us different passions, different gifts to be able to bring him glory and to share him with other people. Yet so often we're doing this, comparing ourselves. Even this week playing basketball, I find myself comparing myself, wondering if I scored more people than the other people in my team. Yet they play a different position. They have a totally different role. We're so often just looking around because we don't know what our role is, what our lane is. Jesus is saying, you've got to be concerned about the one thing. It's me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the only one that matters. He's our home in the end. But how do we do this? You know, I was like, recently I've been asking Jesus a lot, what does it actually look like to fix your eyes on Jesus? I'm a very visual person, so sometimes when I'm trying to fix my eyes on Jesus, I'm trying to picture an image of him with long hair, beard, but it wasn't helping me that much. So I was like, Jesus, what does it actually look like to fix my eyes on you? And it comes from this verse, if we look at Philippians 4. And we've heard this probably a lot of times when we're looking at worry and anxiety. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice sometimes, Rejoice when only things are good. No, rejoice always. Even when we get the bad news that we're not expecting. Even when things aren't going away. Even when our boyfriend or our girlfriend break up for us. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. He's doing something. Whether we see it or not, He is doing something. And here's that command: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. See, this is the key. Not just prayer, but prayer with thanksgiving. Because do you know what? When we're praying with thanksgiving, that's saying that, God, we trust that no matter how you're going to respond to this request, and no matter how you're going to respond to what I'm asking for, that it's going to be good. Because you're good. You know what's best for me. A few years ago, I met this friend. He was a refugee in Bangkok. He was originally from Uganda. He had fled to the Congo for about 10 years and now is currently in Bangkok. And he's not able to earn money. He's hiding away. Many times he's had to run from the authorities. And he doesn't seem to worry about anything. And I was like, "What? How do you do this? How do you not worry about the next thing that you're going to, you know, whether you're going to have food the next day or where you're going to stay?" And he said, "Kaya, when I pray, I thank God that I already have it." He said, "I might not be able to touch it with my hands, but I know I already have it because He looks after me." A refugee with nothing. And sometimes I'm like, man, I don't even pray with that type of faith, and I have everything. Prayer with thanksgiving. And what is the result? "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ." See, peace is the confidence and trust in God's wise counsel of your life. It's that letting go. It's saying He's got control and that He knows what He's doing. So I can thank Him for whatever He is doing in my life. That peace that He gives us guards our heart. It guards our mind from any form of anxiety. It's a peace that only He can give us. And the only way we can get that is by rejoicing, praying with thanksgiving. I want to touch on something briefly just before we close. There's one way that the enemy that I think is trying to steal our peace and our joy more than anything and bring us in anxiety. And that is telling us that we're not saved. He gets us to question our assurance of our salvation. We know the truth. We know what the Bible says. It says that if you believe in me and you confess with your mouth that I am Lord, then you are saved. It's that simple. Yet Satan will whisper in our ears, "Well, you know that sin you just did? Well, you wouldn't have really done that if you were saved. And even if you were, you're not saved now because you just did that." And we get anxious and we get worried and we get fearful and we start to question, "Am I really saved?" See, the truth of the matter is, even this week, if you resisted that temptation, even if you said no to that sin and you did the right thing, that you still would not be good enough for God's grace. We're not good enough. None of us are. Yet it's only by His grace, it's only by His love that we are saved. And the enemy will try and try and try to steal that and say that's a lie. And he'll try to steal our peace and he'll try to steal our joy. And he'll try to take us away from that fullness of life, that abundant life that He has given to us. So today, I want to take some time to pray for those of you that may be struggling with anxiety. Maybe you're questioning your salvation. Or maybe you want to know for the first time this Jesus who offers us this abundance life and this peace that can only come from him. It's not from the world. It's only what he can give us. So as we close our eyes, Lord, I thank you that there is no striving with you. That there's nothing that we can do to earn your love, to earn your acceptance. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to compare ourselves with other people, that you've made us uniquely, that you've made us special and wonderful, and that you've got a purpose for every single one of us. For you today, if there is something that's worrying you, if there's something that is causing you anxiety, I just want you to put kind of your hands out in front of you. Kind of in an act of surrender, of a giving it to God right now. And I just want to pray for you. Lord, you know every single person in this room. You know where their mind is at. You see how the enemy is trying to distract them. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will fill them with peace right now. Lord, that you'll fill them with the assurance that you are taking care of things, that they don't need to worry about anything. They don't need to be thinking of these things because you're already moving, you're already doing it. So Lord, as they go through this day and as they lay their head to sleep tonight, Lord, I just pray for complete rest. Lord, I pray that we will all continue to fix our eyes on you. That we'll spend time praying and praising and thanking you, Lord. I also want to give this opportunity this morning, if there's anyone in here that doesn't know this peace. And if today you want to say yes to Jesus, yes to what he has done for you, then I just want you to kind of put your hand up as in whatever way you want it towards God. And just in your heart, say, Lord, I need you. I am broken. I'm a sinner. And I need you. Thank you for your forgiveness. For the sins I've done in my past, the sins I do for today, and the sins that are in the future. You've forgiven them all. And I thank you for the assurance of my salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this gift that we don't deserve. And as we pursue after you, Lord, I pray that we'll be filled with your joy and peace. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website, therocks.org.au.